pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Overturned. A court ruling sends shockwaves through the Champions League and the Premier League. We'll tell you all about that. The matches are coming fast and furious. We have a host of results to catch up. And how many beans will it cost to get Dean? We'll take a look at a potential transfer target. We're sprinting out of the changing room and down the tunnel. It's all hands on deck. Goalkeeper Trevor Spangenberg from USL Championship's Birmingham Legions waiting for us in the six-yard box, and he's coming up now.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Season's right upon us now, and we're excited to have with us from Group G, from the Birmingham Legion, goalkeeper Trevor Spangenberg. Trevor, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to guess the excitement level amongst the team and yourselves probably higher than average, because you guys haven't even played a match yet as we record this.
We have not played a match. We are so ready to get going. Just be able to get back out and training every morning. I mean, that's every day is an awesome day now. So we can't wait to get going next Wednesday.
And just for folks to kind of get to know Birmingham Legion, last year, an expansion franchise, you got into the playoffs, you scratched out a win last year. So some success already, and hopefully for you, some momentum heading into 2020. But before we even talk about the kickoff for your first match, let's talk about leading up to the anticipated kickoff of your first match back in March. Can you walk us just through a little bit of how you and the team found out that you guys were going to be sitting out that weekend? I guess it was like March 14th, 15th, something like that, due to COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, we were just finishing up preseason. We'd had a great one, a couple good games, and I remember it pretty clearly. It was the Thursday morning. The night before was when the news had come out about the NBA stopping their season. So everyone was kind of talking about that. You know, we're getting ready for training. We had a little bit of a team meeting beforehand. There wasn't really any news they had to share with us. And so we went about our training. And then at the end of it, around 11:30, our general manager came out and, you know, shared the news that the USL was going to be closing up shop as well for a while. And, you know, we're all just kind of standing around like, what do we do now? You know, because there wasn't really an idea of how long it would be, you know, a week, 2 weeks. And so it just kind of came out of nowhere. And it was very weird.
Trevor, that's a question mark that I'm finding common amongst most of the folks in USL Championship, is that once you got word that it was going to be shut down, what I'm hearing is folks thought maybe a week or two or so, you know, kind of hang tight, we're going to get going. And then, you know, the numbers on the cases and the fatalities with coronavirus, those numbers continued to climb. And then I guess, you know, at some point there's that transition between short-term layoff to, okay, we're going to have to hunker down for a little bit. Can you talk about your head coach, Tommy Soane, and the staff? And at what point did you guys start sorting out, okay, things are going to be a little bit different? This isn't just a short-term hiccup.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed it. When we talked on that Thursday, it was, look, we're shutting it down until next week. You know, we'll have more information for you when we get more information. And so, you know, we all just kind of went home, not really knowing, but hoping that the following week things could pick up. But of course, we're all kind of following the news, and we can see that nothing's getting better. It's only getting worse. So when they came out the following week, like, look, this could turn into something that's pretty long term. You know, we've got a fantastic staff here, and I can't imagine how hard it was for our head coach, Tommy, and everyone else on the staff to try to put a plan together for us. But I mean, they did a fantastic job, and I'm sure a lot of other teams did similar stuff. And, you know, they came out and they gave us a plan that we could do on our own, just fitness stuff, getting out, just doing that kind of trying to stick to a routine where I'm personally, you know, I was still trying to get up every morning and kind of stick to, like, all right, we usually train around 9:30 or 10. So, you know, that's when I would go out and I would do something in regards to working out or some type of fitness, just to stay in the routine. I mean, once that's just what I'm used to, you know, I didn't want it to kind of change too much, but we had some fun things in there as well. We did a few team Zoom workouts. You know, we all got on and And, you know, our assistant coach and the fitness coach would run us through some things. So, I mean, it was different. But we all just kind of rolled with it because that's really all we could do. And, all the work we did, I mean, you could tell that if we hadn't done anything, it would have been a pretty rude awakening coming back here just a couple weeks ago when we were able to start full go again. But just because of the fact that all the guys are really good with staying on top of their fitness and doing the things that they were being asked to do, I mean, it makes a load of difference when you can come back and you got to shake the rust off. But at the same time, it's like, all right, at least we've got that good fitness level and we can kind of just kind of get back into it buzzing right away.
I don't have to tell you because you're Mr. Missouri State about academics or anything like that, but it sounds like it's kind of like the final exam. You get found out if you don't prepare upon return to the team.
So true. So true. And I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I really don't think there are any guys that kind of, you know, took the shortcut or anything like that, because everyone seemed to come in and was ready to go right away. And, which is awesome because, you know, there's definitely, you never know. You never know if someone's just going to be like, oh, I'm going to treat this as a vacation or something like that. But when we came back, it was, yeah, I mean, it's getting hot out. So, of course, you got to adjust to that again and the longer bit of training instead of just going out for a run. But, I mean, you could tell everyone had done what was being asked of them. And just stuff like that just makes such a huge difference that you're able to get back into the tactics like aspect and everything instead of worrying about the fitness level right away.
Goalkeeper Trevor Spangenberg joining us today. He's with Birmingham Legion in Group G along with North Carolina FC, Charlotte Independence, and Memphis 901 FC. Trevor, you spoke at length about the amount of time and the road work that you put in during the shutdown. As a goalkeeper, you typically have specialized training during a regular session. For you, how did you stay sharp during this downtime? I mean, I would assume maybe there's some plyometrics, but I mean, did you just, you know, were you doing a lot of burpees for up and down, or, you know, how does that work for a goalkeeper compared to somebody that maybe has to run 3 or 4 miles in a match?
I'll be very honest with you. I absolutely hate burpees, but I did do a lot of burpees. They were part of the fitness little regimen we had. And, those things get me. But no, it's tough to stay sharp because, yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's that position where you need someone serving for you. And, you know, even, you know, I thankfully had a very low key park kind of near where I live. And, you know, the rules in the area where you can be out at parks and stuff as long as you're not near anyone. So, you know, I would go out there by myself and, you know, you're doing footwork stuff. You're maybe hitting the ground a few times. You're making up these drills that, you know, you've done enough drills over the years where you can put things together for a little training session, but at the same time, no one's shooting on you. You're not actually doing specific goalkeeper training. So it was more so trying to stay fit with that up and down and, you know, still getting used to hitting the ground and just kind of keeping that fitness level there. So that way, when you get back, it's really those first couple of days is just kind of getting back into the flow of things when it's an actual shot coming in. So it was different. But you know, I think I did a pretty good job. All three of us on the goalie squad here, I think we all did a really good job with that. You know, we would communicate and talk about the drills we were doing and how we're each staying sharp and kind of bump ideas off of each other. So, I mean, just being able to kind of pick the other two's brain and know what they're doing and what I'm going to do, you know, I mean, that just helps. And it kind of was like we're doing it together, even though we weren't actually doing it together.
A goalkeeper's union is very much a study in professionalism because you guys obviously are wanting to play every match and there's one spot. Did you guys get to work out together during the shutdown? I know varying municipalities had, well, you know, you can have small groups or you can be together if this or if that. Did any of you guys happen to be roommates or were you able to train together at any point?
Unfortunately, none of us were roommates, but as things were starting to get a little better near the end of April, we were able to go out into, you know, a low key park where there was some nice grass and we were able to do some stuff, which was really good, you know, just kind of get the brain back and switched on again. And, you know, there wasn't any goals or anything. And, you know, we went out at a time when no one else was out there, you know, usually pretty early morning just to be safe, but just to do that was great. And, you know, it was just to get back out and, you know, it felt normal again, even though we weren't in that team dynamic. And, you know, I think a really cool thing we also did I think it was probably one of the coolest things we did during that time was we every day before we worked out together or when we were doing stuff on our own, you know, we each, all three of us here on the goalie union are pretty heavily involved in the club aspect and, you know, working with a lot of the youth goalkeepers in the area. So every day during the shutdown, we started it the first week of it and we thought, all right, we might only have to do this for 2 weeks, and it turned into 2 months, but we would each take a day and we would, you know, film ourselves doing some type of goalkeeper drill, whether it was footwork. We always added in a footwork one and then some type of little diving, like footwork into diving. And we came up with these drills. We posted them on social media. And it was really neat because all of the youth goalkeepers that follow the three of us, you know, they started to catch on that we were doing this. The clubs were like, hey, go take a look at the stuff that they're doing. And so it was really neat to see, because then they would do it and their parents would film them and post it. And it was just an awesome thing that to see them doing the things in their own backyard. It was what we were doing out at the parks by ourselves. And I don't know, it was just a really neat way to kind of keep that in environment, that communication going, and just kind of reach out into the community a little bit.
Hey, Trevor, can you fill us in? You're talking about these youth players. Are they affiliated with Birmingham Legion, or is this an area club team that you'd become connected with? Talk a little bit about these kids.
They're kind of just spread out, yeah, through all the clubs here. You know, Matt, the other goalkeeper, and myself and Ford, we each are kind of part of a couple different clubs. And, you know, we do some goalkeeper training for them on certain nights during the week. And so we've really gotten to know, I mean, you know, over 100 or so of these local youth goalkeepers and built a really good relationship with them. We see them out at the games when we're playing at home, and which is one of the best parts, you know, when you get to see them at the games. And so we thought it'd be a really neat idea to do something like this where they could follow along with us, because, I mean, they lost their whole spring season once that shut down too. So everyone was a little bummed. And so we're like, all right, let's put something together where they can follow along with us, see what we're doing, see how we're handling it. And so then to get that engagement back from them when they're out in their backyard, or we would draw some things maybe sometimes on the driveway, and we would do footwork, and it was, everything was goalkeeper specific with the movements and the diving. And then to see them do it, it was awesome. So it kind of was a little bit of a light during the dark time, just to get out there and engage with them a little bit, even though we couldn't actually be out training them.
I want to get to the upcoming matches here in just a moment, but I want to touch on this just a little bit further with the club's involvement in the community. Birmingham, of course, with the next match, opens its second season. So as an expansion team, and you've been there from the get-go, can you talk about the beginnings of the club and what it has meant, not just for you, but also for the Birmingham community? I've seen some of the matches, and the folks have really taken to the club.
It's a fantastic soccer community here. And I mean, I'm sure almost if you asked any player on all the teams, they're going to say that. And at the same time, it's, you know, we really get out there. We make an emphasis on doing things for them. And, you know, there's always a couple events during the year where, you know, fans will come. We're hanging out with them. We're engaging with them. And then just what I just touched on very briefly with our coaching, it's, there's a few other guys that do that too. And so a lot of those kids come to the games and they love it. And then you'll see them, you know, the following week or the next week at that club coach. And they're like, yeah, we were at the game last weekend. It's like, that's awesome, man. Just everyone was so pumped when a team was announced here. And, you know, every game we play at home, the crowds are awesome. So we've got a fantastic fan zone with the MC Brigade, and, you know, they're always bringing the noise. And I mean, it really makes us feel like when we play at home, it's a little bit of a fortress, because I mean, we love playing in that atmosphere, and I'm sure it makes it a little tougher for anyone that comes and plays us away.
So do you get a little extra jacked if you see one of the kids in the crowd's like, man, I can't screw up tonight. I got to hang on to these crosses or something like that.
Of course. And I'm like, you know, especially if we had just maybe worked on something that following week, say it was crosses. And I'm like, whatever I just spoke with them about this past week, I better make sure I do it tonight. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they're going to be watching me for the little pointers and tips that I gave them. They're going to be zero in on that. I better make sure I do it right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's important to develop the kids. Can you speak for a moment about what the PDL has meant for you? I know that you spent some time, I guess it was called USL PDL at the time. I don't know if it's called League Two now or what the moniker is, but you spent some time honing your craft and working your way up. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So I was a big PDL guy, and some players aren't, and some guys like to just go home for the summer and do their own thing, fitness, playing wise. And for me, it's, I never wanted to stop. And so I was just always about the PDL. And I think, so I was at school for 4.5 years. I redshirted for one. So I was there for 5 summers, and, you know, I was involved with PDL every single one of those summers. And, you know, I think I was in IMG the first summer. And also I finished in Laredo that year. The next season I went to Des Moines. And then my last three, there was actually a local PDL team at Missouri State in Springfield called the Springfield Demise. And so I played there the last 3 years. And I mean, I loved it. You know, I loved it. It's depending on the team you're at, sometimes it's, you know, full go and, you know, guys are like, rah, rah, like we're going to get after it. And then sometimes it could be a much lower key. And for me though, especially when I was playing for the team in Springfield, it was awesome because, you know, I could live at home all summer where I was during the year in the house, and I would just go right down the road and do PDL. So I absolutely loved it. And it really translated into what I could bring once we started up again in the fall, because I just never really had that downtime of shaking the rust off. I was just like, it ended in July. We started preseason, you know, at the end of July, the players preseason. So I just pretty much continuously went into it. So that was something I personally really liked, just so I never stopped and never switched off. But, you know, I've seen it both ways. There's been fantastic players who also like to take a break during the summer. But for me, the PDL playing was huge for my growth.
Coming up in just a few days, you've got Group G action begins. It's your season opener against 901 FC. You're in there with Memphis. You're in there with North Carolina FC and with Charlotte Independence. This is not going to be a cakewalk for anybody in this division. How do you think the team is looking coming back for 2020?
Well, first of all, what a group we have. I mean, these are the three other awesome teams to be a part of. So we were excited to see this group just because every game's going to be intense. I mean, we've got, you know, a little rivalry going with Memphis, which is really cool to see grow a little bit since we're so close. And then, you know, so much respect for Charlotte, North Carolina. Those are always fun places to go and play as well. So we are excited to get going. And I mean, it's going to be different. You know, I think we're playing each other four times each. So that's kind of unheard of. And we're going to really kind of get a feel for each other, I'm sure, those first two games. And that's going to be like, all right, well, what can we change up to maybe, so they don't know what's coming these last two games. You know, it's going to be very different. But we are so excited to get going with it. And I think all three of the other teams are as well. And it should be a really cool 3 months here.
Trevor, either someone is a genius or very diabolical by scheduling your very first match on national TV against Memphis. It's a rivalry game in Birmingham. The Birmingham team in England has jumped in on Memphis as well. It has caused a little bit of a buzz on both sides of the pond. So I'm guessing there's going to be some motivation for that opening night out of the get-go.
I think it's really cool how that all has kind of transpired and come about. And you know, I think last year during both of our first seasons, we were just kind of getting into the league, figuring it out, you know, each other, just getting out there. And now that we've both grown a little bit, I think it's really cool that this little rivalry, I mean, every game's a rivalry, let's be honest, but it's neat that one of the teams that's closest to us, just out of nowhere, you know, Birmingham in England, just was like, let's make them your rival. It was like, all right, cool. So we can roll with that. You know, it builds the stakes up a little bit. And then for them to throw that on ESPN2 for the first game of the year, I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, everyone on both teams next Wednesday is going to be absolutely up for it. So it's our first game. It's probably going to be a little rusty, but we're going to still go. Everyone's going to be buzzing out there. It's just going to make the tensions even higher. And it should be a really fun game to watch.
We want folks to get to know Birmingham Legion a bit more. I know Brian Wright's coming back. Prosper Kasim, both the guys were banging in some goals last year. Who else should we be keeping an eye on in front of you out on the pitch in the weeks ahead?
Oh, doing a little scouting. Okay. I see it. Well, we made some pretty cool additions to the squad, and we added some guys who bring some special things. So, you know, we've got some good firepower up front. You know, we added Nico Brett from Pittsburgh. So, you know, that's along with Brian and Prosper, you know, that's a really cool attacking threat that we have. And, you know, we built up our back line a little bit with the addition of Alex Cragnale from Columbus. So the additions we made just have really helped bring this team, you know, up a little bit of a new level as opposed to last year. And it's been really neat. Like I said, just even with everything that's gone on, we've just, you know, kept our heads down and kept working. And you know, it's easy for guys to kind of lose sight of things, lose track of what we want to accomplish this year. But everyone's just so bought into what we want to do here. And the coaching staff does a great job with that as well, where, you know, even though it's going to be a shortened season and the games are going to come quick and fast, you know, we're all ready for it. We just can't wait to be out there playing again and hopefully make this city proud.
Can you talk a little bit about coach's demeanor, or maybe, I don't know, strategy is probably not a good word, but maybe his demeanor in February and March? You guys are preparing for a marathon, but now you're preparing for a sprint. Is there a bit of a sense of, maybe more of a sense of urgency than there was just a few months ago because your opportunities are limited?
You know, I don't know if there's the sense of urgency where it's not panic mode, definitely not. It's more so where how we need to be smart about things. And yeah, we want to build that fitness up, but at the same time, it's, you know, everyone on the roster is going to be used this year because of all of the games we're playing. I mean, I don't even know how many times we've got a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday matchup, but it seems almost every week, it seems like, which is crazy. You know, you only have to deal with that a couple of times during the course of the long 10-month season. So I think it's going to be more of a case of, all right, how do we make sure that we're keeping everyone fit, the guys who are playing consistent 90 for every game. And then at the same time, those guys on the bench, everyone needs to be ready. So we got to make sure that they're staying sharp. So when they do come in, it's not, you know, they're not having any of that downtime where they're getting into the game. They're just coming right into it because of what they've done in training. So I think it'll be a case of just making sure that no matter what, everyone's staying sharp and ready to go, because everyone's name's going to get called at some point.
Last question before we go, Trevor, do you keep gloves in the glove box?
In my car?
Yeah.
I actually do not keep them in my car. I feel like that would make the car smell a little bit. So usually I'm the guy that brings it home. And since we're kind of living out of the cars right now in terms of the locker room going to training, I bring them home. You know, I let them air out a little bit. But if I left it in the car, I'd go back down to the next morning. It would not be pleasant. So I hang them up outside on the porch. So that way they're out of everyone's way.
Good call. And I would guess the dryer sheets, you could probably get sick on those if you leave those in on a hot day and they smell those. Have you ever run and somebody's drying clothes in the dryer sheets, really just pushing out that strong smell, and you're like, oh, man.
I'll be honest. Sometimes if I walk by like the dryer vent, I don't know, for some reason, sometimes that stuff smells good because the clothes are clean at that point. So I'm like, the dryer smell sometimes is all right, but not the glove smell. The glove smell is on a different level. I'm sure every goalie would agree with me there.
I would guess that is a unique smell. Something Yankee Candle probably will not try to copyright or trademark for sure. Trevor Spangenberg, Birmingham Legion, we want to wish you a very safe, a successful run in Group G. Thank you so much for your time. We'll be looking for you guys on ESPN2 as you open your season on Wednesday night, July 15th, as part of a 16-match season. And stay safe out there, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you so much for your time, Trevor.
Thanks for having me on, Tim. I enjoyed the chat. So look forward to getting the season going next week.
Stick around. Brody Scott and I have World Soccer News coming up next in the second half of My Three Subs.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go. Second half, My Three Subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
The MLS is back. Tournament continues to roll on. The matches are coming fast and furious. And it's really hard to make out who's really just, you know, killing it out on the field.
Yeah.
But it's very obvious who's awful.
Well, it's very obvious who took those donut breaks, as Coach Mulqueen very quickly pointed out that none of the 901 FC guys were taking donut breaks. But with this MLS is back, a few of those guys look pretty sluggish.
FC Cincinnati looked awful in their first year.
Yeah.
This year, of course, season number two, new manager Jaap Stam is in, and he has his work cut out for him. They were playing Columbus, and Columbus looked like they were playing maybe their youth team or something. I mean, it was nearly a walking pace at Disney World for them.
Columbus Crew is a good team. They always have been, really. So it wasn't surprising that the crew showed up. They have like this working model. This works for us. Let's continue this pace kind of thing. And I think that training regimen continued on with after the break, this you know, little break there, everybody just healed up for Columbus Crew. They looked fantastic against Cincinnati, and oh, it was just rough. It was a rough game.
Yeah, plenty more games to go in this month-long tournament, but Cincinnati fell to Crew. I think Crew just got tired because it was one of the late games and ended up being 4-0. I think they had cookies and milk and went to bed after the 70th minute.
I'm going to ask you this, Tim Van Horn. Easier game, because it's been discussed at nauseam on ESPN and all the networks that the MLS's back tournament is on. Easier game to play, morning or night game?
Oh, wow. Personally speaking, night game.
I think it would be rough to play that 10:30 because, you know, you're at the end of the day. I'm done. I'm exhausted. Even if I got up at noon, right, to get ready for this match, everything is completely off.
Morning match would be tough because you're not used to fueling up for a certain 8 o'clock kickoff.
Like 5:30 in the morning. I kind of get that, but, you know, you got most of these guys who wake up and run anyway. So that's your morning run. You know, I think it would be really hard to do the night game. Or that late evening game. Like that 7:30 game that you catch sometimes. That 10:30 game, awful. That late evening, like after dinner game, that would be bad too.
Yeah. And so FC Dallas out, Nashville SC out.
Yep.
The month-long tournament continues on with matches morning, noon, and nightly.
And late night. And later night.
The closest thing that we have to regular season action is the USL Championship right now because the matches are being played in home stadia, which is nice.
And if you're Indy 11, you got to go to the match, socially distanced, but there were fans there. It was fun, right? It was fun to see fans at a match.
I had a little bit of trauma, though, watching Tyler Pasher carve up defenses again. This guy is something else. I know it's just the second match of the season, but, man, it's like he did not miss a beat from the layoff. Indy 11 is going to be awfully, awfully tough to beat. However, if there's a team that may pressure them when all is said and done, look at the Pittsburgh Riverhounds going into Louisville, brand new Lynn Family Stadium, looks to be maybe the crown jewel of the league.
Yeah.
And Louisville takes the lead early, and then late first half, Pittsburgh remembers, oh, we're the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, and then just completely messes up the sandbox.
Yeah, we bleed steel in our blood, so I guess we should, I don't know, carve them up.
One goal at the end of the first half, and then essentially a few other quick ones to start the second half, and then it was over. Pittsburgh dominated Louisville City in their home stadium debut. But it looks like a nice stadium, and if you're up that way, probably worth driving by. But there was so much more action. Of course, that match was 3-1 on the road. Atlanta United had an interesting match with Tampa Bay Rowdies, Brody. They were on the road at Al Lang Stadium. It looks like they've done some renovations to the old stadium there. It looked great. But after about 8 minutes, Atlanta United 2 were down to 10 men after a denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. But on the counterattack, about 15 minutes later, Atlanta United 2 took the lead, and Tampa Bay did not have an immediate answer for that, but better late than never.
Tampa Bay looks sluggish. If you were talking about these teams that like come out and probably didn't use the time wisely, I would have said Tampa Bay at that first half. And, you know, they pulled it out, you know, and they started, you know, showing a little bit of heart, I guess, is what carried them through that match the rest of the way. But, you know, playing 10 men, though, is brutal, too.
Yeah, so. Maybe a few choice words at halftime didn't hurt.
Probably.
They left it late, but Tampa Bay clinches another three points. Forrest Lasso, who we've talked about on this podcast, got on the end of a free kick, headed it into the blender, and Tampa Bay was able to tap it home with about 4 or 5 minutes left in regular time.
Did you agree with that red card?
Yes. The keeper? Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, because of the giveaway, I thought at that point that he was going to be through to goal. So, yeah, I agree with that red card. A lot of controversy elsewhere between Colorado Springs and New Mexico United. Was a goal taken away? Was a handball not called?
Yes.
Bottom line, Colorado Springs on the short end of the stick against Mexico United, New Mexico United, yeah. Falling in that match out west. But plenty of great action continuing on. And as we mentioned a moment ago, Atlanta United 2. Their next match is against our home team, Memphis 901 FC, and that is going to be coming up on Saturday night. In fact, Pete Prenica and I will be on the call for that one on CW30 here locally, and we'll be calling that match. But before that, it's Bright Lights Big City for 901 FC as they're on the road on national TV, baby.
Yeah, we're on to ESPN, and we got, is it ESPN 2?
It's the deuce.
It's the dose. So, yeah, ESPN 2, and we might see some new faces on the pitch.
Right, we have some breaking news. In fact, we have it right here on at least 20-pound stock.
Yes,
not, Tim Mulqueen, Tim Howard announced the signing of two players. One had been in camp for quite some time and just been going under the name of John Doe or, I don't know, Elvis Presley, something. But they added two players, Reese Buckmaster and Cal Jennings. Both of them young guys. Jennings, it comes from some pretty good stock. He was drafted 17th overall in the Super Draft this year. He came from he came from SC Dallas, but in college, he comes from a familiar local foe from the University of Central Florida, a University of Memphis American Athletic Conference.
So he and Raul probably
did not play together because of the age gap.
Oh, okay.
But he was the AAC Offensive Player of the Year in 2019. He was All-American Athletic Conference first team and then was a Herman Trophy semi-finalist. 46 goals in 64 matches. He picked up 16 assists as well. That is Cal Jennings. But about Reese Buckmaster.
Can I just say this about Buckmaster?
Yeah.
You have found your home here, my friend, because that giant pyramid practically has his name on it. Buckmaster. How great.
What?
Yeah, Buckmaster. You got Bass Pro Shop, the Buckmaster.
Overlooking the stadium.
Yes, I'm saying, like, wear antlers to the stadium. I'm a Buckmaster, you know?
You know, I don't know if he's much of a hunter. He's from Indiana, so could be.
Yeah, but you say.
Could be. He was the 32nd overall pick by the New York Red Bulls.
30
points. And he's had a cup of coffee up there. He played with them last August and debuted there in a win over Toronto FC. In fact, he had 7 starts with the club, including a start in the MLS Cup Eastern Conference quarters against Philly, had 19 appearances overall in 2019. Terms of the contract were not announced with the announcing of the players, but it's very possible we see one or both of these guys in either the first match or in the first couple of matches.
You
because
got 5 subs.
Now the games are going to be coming, you know, fast and furiously with a game Wednesday and then a game Saturday. So very easily.
That's brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, so you've got to play what you have. You know,
absolutely. So we look forward to seeing them out there on the pitch. Memphis 901 FC with some new players. San Diego Loyal, by the way, stayed unbeaten, reopening league play in a 1-0 win over the Rio Monarchs. They're the ones that kicked off all of the restart for the USL Championship. Landon Donovan's team right now, 2 wins and a draw in their inaugural season. Not a bad start.
Not bad at all.
For the U.S. men's national team hero, Landon Donovan's club. Over in the NWSL, the North Carolina Courage, Washington Spirit, Skyview, that's the private, that was an old private school here. Sky Blue FC continue to stake their claim for a top seed in the NWSL Challenge Cup. You can catch it all on CBS All Access. Some good news, bad news.
Yeah.
It looks like Rose Lavelle is going to be back in time for the knockout stages. But,
however,
Washington's other star, Andy Sullivan, looks like she's got a knee issue and she's going to be out 3 to 6 months.
Torn. They're saying a tear.
So is it a meniscus issue?
Yeah, they're saying a tear. 3 to 6 months. I said that's very generous.
Yeah.
You know.
But again, catch that all on CBS All Access. The final will be on CBS itself.
Who are you picking in that, by the way?
North Carolina Courage.
I think so, too.
They look great. They've looked strong throughout, yeah. But, I mean, in a knockout round, one bad day, you
anybody's
know.
Game.
slippery pitch. If it starts raining, then you got a bit of a problem. English Premier League. Wow, what a shakeup from earlier this morning. We get the huge announcement that's going to have ramifications in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and perhaps the hopes and dreams of at least one or two Premier League teams, as Manchester City, who had been slapped not just on the wrist but across the back, across the face. by UEFA for violating the financial fair play rules. The Court of Arbitration for Sport says, you guys can't do that. We're overturning this. So Manchester City, in effect, they've already clinched second place, by the way, in the Premier League. They will not be banned at all. You know, there was a two-year ban on the Champions League at stake here. The ruling was overturned. They can play Champions League next year just fine.
Yep.
They sit in second place. And given today's draw against Southampton as we record this, at this moment, it looks like the top five are as Liverpool has clinched first. Manchester City has clinched second.
Sure.
Chelsea is 12 points behind Manchester City, sitting in third, believe it or not.
Wow.
Leicester is now fourth, tied with Manchester United. But United trails on goal differential by three. Up until yesterday, it was thought the fifth-place team would get into the Champions League. That is not the case anymore. So now this is Europa. The battle is now for the last Champions League spot. Fifth place does now mean Europa. Now, let me throw this permutation in here. If Manchester City also wins the FA Cup, then another Europa League spot becomes open. It looks like Manchester United and Wolves would have that. But even Sheffield United even Tottenham could slip into Europa. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that Arsenal could, with three matches to go.
Stop it, Tim.
It's not likely,
it's
though.
Not going to happen.
What do people see in Mikel Arteta? For me, I see a player who was underappreciated by the Spanish national team. I think he was the best player to not get Spanish national team glory.
Absolutely.
As a coach, I think it's too soon to pass judgment on him. I hear people talking about how great he is, but what has he done? Is it based upon his demeanor and the hopes of what he can do, or is there some tangible evidence that I'm missing?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, because I think at this point, he's just not there. You know, it's like he's not present. And
wait, are we talking about him or Ozil?
Yes. C. Circle that C, all the above. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But the thing is here's what I do know, is that Arsenal's not going anywhere. They're terrible. Leicester's not going anywhere.
Is Aubameyang, is he gone?
I think so.
Now that there's virtually no significant European football coming?
I think Aubameyang has to go. If I'm Aubameyang or his family or anybody close to him, I think at this point you're like, I don't want to see you go, but I wouldn't be mad if you did, because you have to do what's best for you. It's not at Arsenal right now. Arsenal's problem is that defense. They're awful. They are awful. David is...
Insert your David Luiz joke right there.
Gosh, just bad, dude. Go home. Go home. I say it every single week. Like, why did he get off the bus? Like, couldn't they stuff him in the locker? I don't know. But just bad. It's just bad. That back line is just terrible at Arsenal. Same thing, though, with Leicester City. I mean, that was a bad game, dude.
Yeah.
It was a bad game.
Leicester laid a massive egg. Let's talk about the bottom of the table. There is such a race to get out. I have to say, I have respect, because looking at the standings, let's recap what happened at the weekend.
Yeah.
16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th all won their matches.
Yeah.
So it's as they were in the standings.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Norwich is mathematically eliminated. They are relegated to the championship.
Did you feel bad for them after that match? I mean, they lost handedly, but
it always looks sad when they go down.
They look like sad puppies.
It wasn't quite as bad because you don't have a crowd full of supporters there and like the little kids that are crying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as if it's the worst thing that has ever happened.
Right.
You know?
Even though it happened like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This happens every other year with Norwich.
They are serial relegation material.
They're too good for Champions League. They're just not good enough for EPL.
Well, the bad thing is if they would just stay up for one extra season, they would get an extra year of parachute payments when they go down to the EFL Championship. Yeah. It would be such a boon for them if they could pull that off, but they never do. So here are the numbers, 16 through 19, because those are the really relevant numbers at this point. I think at 35... Brighton is safe. I think they're going to be – they're okay. They're playing decently. West Ham has been playing decently.
Great.
They're at 34. They have a significant goal advantage. They're six better on goal differential than Watford, who are 17th and sitting on 34.
I'd be worried if I was Watford.
Bournemouth is at 31. They've got a minus 24 goal differential. They're 18th. Aston,
see, I think they look better than that. I think Bournemouth actually looks pretty good.
Well, that
some game,
that
some matches.
That brings me back to the question: can Bournemouth or Aston Villa get out? And last week, you had a huge question mark for that. You still have a question mark for Bournemouth, yeah. But maybe not as big as you do compared to Villa.
Aston Villa's done.
Villa right now 30 points. And they have a minus 27 goal differential. So West Ham with one more win, I think they're safe. Watford with one more win, they are safe. But the big thing is this Friday, West Ham and Watford play each other.
Yeah. That's going to be a great match.
I think it's going to be a terrific match because they have everything to play for. Yeah. You have great goalkeepers. You got Fabianski on one end for West Ham. You got Ben Foster for Watford, and then you've got.
I think West Ham wins this.
And then Michael Antonio scored all four goals for West Ham last week. Obviously, the player of the week by far,
right?
For them, and then you got Troy Deeney,
yeah,
who's been great for Watford.
Fantastic.
I know. We're talking about 16th and 17th place. But I'm setting an appointment to take time off and watch that match.
I think you have to. If you're a soccer fan, you are going to see some really great soccer, some very passionate soccer and creative, because out of that passion is going to breed creativity, and who knows what's going to happen. I think Watford wins. If I'm going to put, you know, some money somewhere, I think that's where the money's going to go.
I think it might be a draw.
I hate that.
But see, there's only three match days left.
I know.
So that's still a benefit for them, because that gets them one more day off where they've at least gotten some points. And if Bournemouth doesn't get any points, or even if they do, they're still both 16th and 17th with two match days to go. I think a draw there might be a fair result, but I don't put it past Watford to win, but I don't put it past West Ham.
Yeah,
to win as well. And we spent just an inordinate amount of time on two of the worst five teams in the league. Let's move on.
We didn't talk about Aston Villa that long.
Yeah. So. Well, let's move on to Serie A, and we can move quickly through this. Juventus is still sporting an 8-point lead over Lazio thanks to a pair of Ronaldo penalties. It's a very comfortable Serie A lead. And Ronaldo is so good on penalty kicks.
Yeah, but he gets them all the time, because if you look at him wrong, they're like, oh, ha, ha.
But think about how many opportunities he's had to mess them up, and he's not afraid to take them, even when he's had them saved or missed. The guy's fearless.
Oh, sure. I mean, he takes a dive all the time.
Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Nobody touches him anymore because he plays on the wing, or he just goes
in
for a header.
That's what I'm saying. If you look at him wrong, because you can't get close to him, or else it's a card.
Yeah.
Or he goes down.
No, man. Ronaldo would never do that.
Sure.
You think about Messi.
Yes, him too.
Let's talk about Barcelona. They're 1 point back of Real Madrid with two matches to go for them. But Real have three matches to go. They've got a match in hand. And let's not forget, even with that points advantage, if somehow things leveled up on the last day of the season, Real Madrid has the tiebreaker, because in La Liga, it is head-to-head. They have a win and a draw versus Barca. Therefore, they would be crowned La Liga champions.
Oh, that's nice.
So, game in hand and a 1-point lead.
So, it's theirs.
And it's amazing, because when you are in second place in La Liga, your manager is the stupidest person ever. Yeah. But if they're on top, they're a genius and really crown should them. Be there. They should be signed to a 50-year contract.
Yes, crown them, because yes. They're king.
You flip 2 points, though, start throwing tomatoes. It's incredible. All right, let's go down to the English Football League's championship. Brentford have just three matches to close a 3-point gap and overtake West Brom to get the second automatic promotion position. Leeds are in first. They are a further 3 points up on West Brom. There are several teams scrapping for that 3 through 6, where they would call that down and have the winner of the 3 through 6 playoff take that third promotion spot up into the Premier League. I think Leeds and West Brom hang on. If Brentford does not get in there, then they've got to go into the blender, and then anything goes. You get a bad day, and you are
out.
That's
brutal. That is brutal.
You know what, though? But if you put yourself in that position, you have only yourself to blame, though.
True.
Have we got anything else? Yeah, one other item. Congratulations to the Wycombe Wanderers today. They won the League One playoff final in an empty Wembley. And
That was creepy then.
They defeated Oxford United to go on, and they will be promoted to the highest level they've ever been promoted. They will be in the EFL Championship next year.
Look at that. Good.
I mean, how about that? I like their uniforms too. If you get a chance, look up Wycombe Wanderers. They have kind of the pattern where it's split down the middle, where you have kind of a navy blue in the upper left and lower right, and then kind of a baby or a light blue in the bottom left and upper right. It's an interesting little pattern that they've got going on. But congratulations to them. Congratulations to you. You've survived another half of My Three Subs podcast. We'll be right back.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so we don't worry about getting sued for using music without permission, and we know for sure that the artists who made it, well, they're getting paid, and that's always a great thing. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines. We used to have to piecemeal all that stuff, and it took hours, believe me. It took hours. It cost hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts to really get the podcast to you. Well, that's all changed with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive. You're going to scratch your head, and you may even have to scratch your ears when you hear this. It's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Want to send a quick shout out to Trevor Spangenberg from Birmingham Legion. Appreciate him
for now
for joining us. Yeah, you know, maybe not be so alert if he's in the match against 901 FC Wednesday night. But we wish him.
I won't be cheering for him necessarily when he's out there on the pitch.
I cheer for the person, not the performance.
Not the performance. Yes.
But we do hope to have him back. His sense of humor reminds me a bit of Johnny Walker's.
Yeah.
Just great storyteller.
Yeah.
Funny sense of humor.
Doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah. And just really great with the kids. So appreciate him. That is coming up Wednesday night on ESPN2, Memphis 901 FC versus Birmingham Legion. And then Saturday, Pete Pranica and I will be taking the road feed of Memphis 901 FC versus Atlanta United 2. That will be at Fifth Third Bank in near Atlanta. But for those that like the Dewey Decimal System, you can just call it 1.6. But here's how that works. On ESPN Plus, they typically take the home feed. So Atlanta United, if you want to watch the Atlanta United 2 feed, you go to ESPN Plus. If you want to watch Pete and me do this, then you go to CW30. It's going to be the exact same video feed, but we're going to call it Memphis 901 FC centric on there.
Good.
And I can't wait to report back, because I'll be able to kind of give you an idea of how we're going to socially distance in our broadcast on
I'm very interested, because are you calling it at 901?
Well, we are going to be at a remote. We're going to be at a remote location. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be there. And the press box is quite big, so I've already been in conversation with Pete and also the director of entertainment there to figure out how we're going to socially distance. And I think Pete's got a good, safe game plan with the director of entertainment.
Right.
There's a couple of options out there. I think it's win-win either way. I'll tell you all about that and maybe have some pictures and take you inside the broadcast booth.
Pete behind the curtain. Tim and I talk with our hands.
I am so excited, because I've never worked with Pete before, and I love Pete. He does fantastic work with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Last year.
I did not work with Pete last year.
Oh.
I was as shocked as you when I had to look back. My voice got that high of an octave as well, when I thought, wait, I didn't work with Pete either. But no, I haven't worked with him yet. So for me, this is a bit of a bucket list stuff because, I mean, he is, you know, he's one of the NBA's best. So he's crossing over and he's doing some soccer. So looking forward to that. But it's always a privilege to get to call matches for your hometown team. So thank you, Memphis 901 FC. Thank you, USL Championship. And thank you, Pete Pranicke. Looking forward to working with you and the rest of the crew.
Just to recap, we have this Wednesday, Mike Watts calling.
I believe Mike Watts has the Memphis 901 FC versus Birmingham Legion. That is Wednesday night.
All right. So that's luck there. He's on our side, right?
Mike
Watts. Yes.
Yeah.
Then you're on our side on Saturday.
Saturday, 6:30 versus Atlanta United 2. Both of those are road matches. The team will be back home the following Saturday against Charlotte Independence. And you can go back to our last episode and listen to Enzo Martinez, who plays for Charlotte, and get to know him. That will be actually, I think, that might be their first match back.
Wow.
Well, what's
going to happen? That's great. For Memphis 901 FC's sake, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, let that rust.
So for Brody Scott, I'm Tim Van Horn. Check us out at My Three Subs Podcast on Twitter and on Facebook, My Three Subs Soccer Pod on Instagram, and the email address is
mythreesubspodcast@gmail.com and mythreesubspodcast.com for any of those interviews that we mentioned.
We'll catch up with you. Good luck, Memphis 901 FC. Everybody stay safe. We'll talk to you again really, really soon on My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey. The Watchers have observed. The Council has convened. The Gathering of Geeks converges. And they're set to discuss everything happening in the geekdom.
Tank locked, loaded. Get the latest on everything in the geek universe with the Geek Patrol.
The Geek Patrol is on Geek Tank Radio.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.